In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What silly stories we find in the Bible. A shepherd finds a stupid lost sheep, puts it on his shoulders, and you can almost see him in the narrative skipping home, rejoice with me, I found my sheep which was lost. Who does that? It's a little easier to understand the frantic woman. Can think of nothing else. She turns the house upside down to find her lost wedding coin. And I found it! I found it! And she calls her friends, and they have a grand party. The parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And following after it on this Father's Day, the prodigal son, whose father was prodigal in his mercy and compassion for his sons, rather radical in his love. The shepherd is irresponsible. He leaves the 99 in the wilderness to go after the one which is lost, continuing to search until he finds it. That is irresponsible. A faithful shepherd is not going to jeopardize the entire flock for the sake of one stupid lost sheep. It's simply not worth it. It would be one thing if the shepherd were able to make a quick rescue of the sheep that had gone a little bit too far astray without leaving the flock. That would be one thing. But that's not what this shepherd does. He leaves the many to find the one. That is irresponsible. And that's what the scribes and the Pharisees thought of Jesus. He is irresponsible. They murmured and complained against him. This man receives sinners and eats with them. No self-respecting rabbi who knew the law and the requirements of the law would do a thing like Jesus tells in these parables against those who murmured against his ministry of forgiveness to unworthy and undeserving sinners. He starts with something familiar in addressing their complaint and their murmuring against him, and then, shepherds and sheep, he turns the tables on them, asking them a question. What man of you, what man of you doesn't leave 99 sheep for one? Answer, none of us would do such a ridiculous thing as this. But that's what God does. His grace and compassion for the straying Christian is inversely proportionate to the Pharisees and scribes' lack of compassion for such a one. Yes, the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son that follows our gospel teaches us of our Lord's passion, not simply for the lost, but for the straying Christian. We all know of our Lord's concern for the unregenerate, concern for tens of millions of unbelievers the world over who do not know the Lord Jesus, who have never been brought to faith in Him, for whom all of our missionary efforts are directed. But these parables illustrate His undying compassion for those who had been His, but who had wandered from the flock or had wandered from the family, who have gone astray, who have fallen from the faith. You see, in the parables of Jesus, the sheep belong to the shepherd, the coin belonged to the woman, the son belonged to the father. But they had all gone astray, they were lost, and they're described as being dead, dead, dead. And they were found. They were rescued. They were made alive, alive again. They who had been alive had died, and now they're alive again. Notice the baptismal theme of dying through contrition and repentance, and then made alive again. When unbelievers are converted and brought to repentance and faith in Christ, we tend to have a big celebration when they are confirmed and brought into the fellowship of Christ's church. But when a Christian goes astray, someone who had been confirmed, who had made their vows before the altar of the Lord, we tend to shake our heads with disgust and sometimes anger. How could he do such a thing? Where is the zeal for the lost? Should it be any different than the zeal we have for those who have never known the Lord Jesus? Pastors and pastors-to-be have as a larger part of their ministry the call to reclaim baptized Christians who have gone astray. There is no greater work or higher calling. And we, as pastors, need to be reminded of this again and again and again. And I'm not just talking about those who have fallen into gross sins, you know, seeking after those. I'm talking about baptized Christians who doubt their salvation because of their weaknesses and failings as wives and mothers, or on this Father's Day, as husbands and fathers. Make no mistake about it. The shame and regret that a father may feel deep within his soul because of missed opportunities or failed expectations as a Christian father often scandalizes his conscience, driving him away from Christ into despair. What have I done? Or what have I failed to do? And years and decades have passed, and the remembrance of sin and missed opportunities can haunt him for his entire life and war against the soul. It's one thing to be brought to the joy of salvation, having never known the love of Christ. And it's a wonderful thing, and it is a most blessed thing. But it is another thing. After having been brought to faith in the Lord Jesus and having squandered one's inheritance, to have been brought back. There is nothing like believing that all hope of your salvation is lost. It's a devastating thing. And perhaps you've been there. Perhaps you are there this morning. The gospel proclaims to us that our Lord loves like no one loves. He loves the unworthy. Even the love of the most ardent and faithful Father may wane and fail, but not our Heavenly Father. He loves those who have gone astray. And His love never quits, like a father who pities his children To the world and to the Pharisee within us all, his love and passion for the lost is irresponsible. It makes no sense to human reason. But for us, it is the power of God to salvation, and it is the source of endless joy. That's what he is. And for us who have been reclaimed by the Lord, it is the source of our endless joy. There is no shepherd like the Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, who lays down his life for the sheep. He's one of a kind. He not only laid down his life for you, making your sin his responsibility in his death upon the cross, but he also lays down the reputation of God the Father before a self-righteous world every time he restores a penitent sinner. While the world scorns such mercy, all heaven rejoices. Again and again and again he seeks. He searches. He forgives. He is relentless in his desire to restore you and reclaim you as the Father's son. He's like an irresponsible shepherd, leaving all for you. Like a wild woman sweeping her house in a frantic frenzy, seeking the lost coin until she finds it. He is like a prodigal father who overflows with a love that will never die. It is as if nothing is more important to him than you. And nothing is. And when you are brought to repentance, and when in the promise of your baptism you receive the absolution anew, all heaven rejoices. For there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the so-called 99 who need no repentance. He has no greater joy than the bestowal of his forgiveness upon the broken-hearted. And so the psalmist prays, "Out of the depths have I cried to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my prayer. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared." And for this gift of love, the angels sing forever, and we join in their song before the throne of the shepherd who became a lamb to save the sheep. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.
Amen.